My message is, how can I be sure in a constantly changing world? Not the pop song from the 60s. The other day, before it got warm, I watched our U.S. flag swirl about vigorously in the constantly changing winter winds. And I was reminded by the sound of the flag snapping in the breeze, freedom is not free. I was conceived and born in a time of war, and many of you were also. I was raised in a time of war and rumors of war, and we all are today. While I did not have to go to war because by the grace of God, my draft number was very high, even though they went further than they were supposed to go in the draft, my draft number was still higher. Many of my friends did go to war, and some of them did not return home. And many who did return home have not come home yet. They are still on the battlefield. I recognize tens of thousands of people in the past 400 years either paid the ultimate price or were willing to pay the ultimate price for the good citizens they will never know. Someone purchased the freedom you and I have to assemble, to speak, to worship. Just as George Washington put his life of relative luxury and accommodation on hold to lead the Continental Army, the framers of the Constitution set their personal lives aside for a time to lift up petitions and supplications before God and to cite the Christian Bible at least 80 documented times in search of spiritual guidance for our budding nation's foundation. It's sad, but that's not taught in our schools today. How can you hide 80 times when the leaders of a nation call on the name of the Mighty One? Knowing this, we must recognize the constitutional framers' spiritual compass rested solidly on the Creator of the universe, who is the ultimate framer of our Constitution's ethos. Ethos is the characteristic spirit of a culture which we know now as the United States of America, not the corporation. That's a whole different talk. If you didn't know there's two United States, you're in trouble. One's real, one's counterfeit. Just as throughout biblical history, various individuals became the focal point of controversy, and as some today would label their actions insurrection, we must ask ourselves who we look to as the centering point during the past, present, and future civil chaos in our lives. Is there any chaos in your life? Is anything swirling around you which isn't righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit? Then that's from the enemy. You know what the kingdom of God is, right? We don't have to go back and review that. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Do you know who controls the history of our nation? Some of you know. The Freemasons. Do you know George Washington repented of Freemasonry and renounced it as a sin in his personal diaries? But you know, every picture of him which we're allowed to look at, released by the Freemasons, has him wearing his apron, his Masonic apron. You know what the Masonic apron was for? To keep the blood off of you when you did blood sacrifices to Lucifer. This is the admixture in our culture, folks, If you want, I'll do a four-hour teaching on identifying and exposing the roots of Freemasonry. We've done it here before. But they control the history, and they want to teach your kids about God. But they won't even tell your children that 80 times when the framers of our nation and Constitution got together, they called on divine providence. They called on the Almighty. Different names than you and I might use for Adonai, Elohim, Yahweh, Jehovah, Yeshua, Jesus today. But the same eternal God. While we would often like a more in-depth understanding of biblical heroes, we do not know much about their upbringing other than they were raised as an Old Testament Hebrew, which brought with it a lifetime of learning to live in relation to Jehovah. I'd be willing to say that a 13-year-old, male or female, boy or girl, at bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah, knows more scripture than all of us combined. And yes, I am a cameraman's nightmare. When Holy Spirit holds still, he'll put me to sleep. If you look at the greatest scientists in the world, most of them are Jewish. If you look at the greatest doctors and physicians in the world, most of them are Jewish. If you look at the people who have the most patents in the world by people group, the largest group is Jewish. You know why? They meditate on the Word of God. Here's how most Americans meditate. The Hebrew word for meditate means to speak or declare out loud. So they are speaking the Word of God over their space every day. The Word of God does not return to him void, but returns fulfilling the purpose for which he sent it. And when they speak it, all of a sudden, the creative spirit of the Lord rested in this region from 1830 to 1980. After the Finney Revival, the creative spirit of God rested in this region, and by region of the nation, there were more patents per capita here after the awakening than anywhere else in the nation, until the spirit of man got in the way and said, we got science. Let me tell you, the master scientist is sitting on the throne in heaven. In Psalm chapter 2 says he's laughing in derision at his enemies. But these little Hebrew kids are speaking the Word of God over the place where they study. Does the Lord inhabit his Word? Yes. Let's look for a moment at the example of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Most of you probably know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I think the name father gave them, their Hebrew mom and dad gave them, more identifies their character than the no-god Nebuchadnezzar names. You can read about these three young boys in Daniel, in the book of Daniel, in chapter 1, verse 7, 249, and 3, 12 through 30. If you're taking notes, write the numbers first, then write the book. Daniel 1, 7, 249, and 3, 12 through 30. Those are where the story is. These three young men found favor with Nebuchadnezzar, and he conferred upon them a very high-ranking political authority. Based on a cunning scheme and an unscrupulous plan, known as a Machiavellian intention, especially in politics. Certain Chaldeans were out to get Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. Has anyone ever plotted and schemed against you? You know, you have all of the authority of heaven in your voice. Jesus said so in Luke 10:19. To speak his word over the situation and expose the darkness and render the plans of darkness null and void. We see these three young men were brought to the point of facing the true foundation of their spiritual upbringing. Would we bow to Nebuchadnezzar and his now seven times hotter fire? Or would we trust the Lord? As we read in Daniel 3:17-18, I submit to you it was their steadfast Hebrew upbringing which allowed them the boldness to pit Nebuchadnezzar, the no god of their day, against the living God, Jehovah. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah did so just as openly as Elijah on Mount Carmel when he faced the prophets of Baal and Ashtoreth. You see that story in 1 Kings 18:30-40. I believe the time is coming for the people of our uncivil society to face the tyranny of facing death from a God of this age or standing in permanence on our faith in the living creator of all. Folks, you are going to have to make some decisions very soon. You're either going to trust to believe whatever the Lord has spoken in all the work Yeshua did, or you're going to bow to the no gods. Do you know God told the Israelites when they were wandering in the wilderness, don't even mention the name of their gods. Do you know the name of the road this building is on is the name of a no god? How serious will we take it? Because many of us will fall prone to being seduced and beguiled into worshiping structures the Lord never intended us to bow our knee to. The bottom line of the issue is not how much wealth, fame, or popularity we enjoy, but whether we will trust our God to be the fourth man in the fire of our Nebuchadnezzar's furnace. If you don't think it's getting hot, stop listening to the nightly news and just watch what Holy Spirit is displaying throughout this country. This is an aside. It's not in my notes. Casey shakes her head. We are about to celebrate the Feast of Passover on Wednesday night. And Thursday morning would have been the first day they stepped out of bondage into freedom and celebrated the 7-day period of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's why they had to make unleavened bread to eat with the feast so they could take it with them. Passover is one day, Feast of Unleavened Bread is seven. Many people say Passover is a 7-day feast. Here's the point I wanted to make. At the end of the 7 days, they should have been halfway to the promised land. It's a 14-day journey from Egypt to Jerusalem. It took them over 14,600 days to get there because they murmured and complained and gossiped and moaned and groaned and sounded just like the body of Christ in the United States. This is why this month we are to take authority over our lips and speak the word of God into our situations and circumstances. Whose report are you going to believe? Do you know in public school, the Europeans came here to get ahead, better business opportunities, more timber? How many of you were taught that we were a penal colony? Canada, the United States, South Africa, Australia were penal colonies for England. We didn't get their best and brightest folks. But those who came seeking the freedom to worship and speak in the name of the Most High God brought liberty to this land. We can join over 400 years ago prayers with the prayers they prayed and ask the Lord to restore everything the generations in between have sacrificed to darkness. Some of Casey's relatives came over on the Mayflower. I don't know what they were seeking. But the relatives of hers I know were born again. In retrospect, many of us know the German church in the early 1930s kept silent when the tyranny of Nazism came to their collective doors. Biblically founded believers found themselves alone in the furnace. Unfortunately, over the past 70 years, the American church has been racing headlong to this very same precipice. Give me my creature comforts. Like the proverbial lemmings, the American church keeps marching toward destroying our children's physical and mental well-being through abortion, drag queen story hours, and gender dysphoria. Oh, wait a minute, that's a 50-cent word. Dysphoria, this is for those of you who like definitions, is a profound state of unease or dissatisfaction. They are confused. I do have personal experience with this. It is the systematic opposite. It is the somatic opposite of euphoria. Dysphoria is the complete opposite of euphoria. In a psychiatric context, dysphoria may accompany depression, anxiety, or agitation. A lot of what happened when we were forced to wear masks and the kids in school, brain cells were damaged because they were breathing their own carbon dioxide and other waste. Oh, wait a minute, let's not talk about science. I'm quoting a well-known children's brain surgeon. And the side effects were agitation, irritation, irritability, inability to learn, sit, and listen, or remember. It's interesting to note the word dysphoria was not in the English vocabulary in 1828 when Noah Webster wrote his first dictionary. I looked there, couldn't find it. There are so many words in today's English dictionary on how to use your cell phone and talk to somebody in three-letter acronyms that we've lost the meaning of communication. But that's a whole different topic. In marching toward destroying our children's physical and mental well-being, the American church silently agreed to on moving God. Removing God as the moral compass of our civil society and replacing him with our subjective excuses. Some of you remember where you were on that day in November of 1962 when prayer was removed from our public schools. Because one parent in New York State was opposed to a little prayer that I prayed every day. Father, bless our parents, our teachers, and our nation. That's a pretty radical prayer, isn't it? Didn't mention any names for God. I remember the next day in school, we couldn't say that little prayer anymore. This subjectivity has a longer lasting impact than our local school board elections. They are important. There is a book in almost every school library in Monroe County and probably across New York State called Trans Plus. It's in every public library, and it has little QR codes where the kids can go in from pre-kindergarten on up through high school and scan and go online and get a date with a pervert. It's your kids and grandkids, folks. Oh, wait a minute. This is a taste of reality. Do you know if I had that book in my house and I showed it to someone, I would get arrested for child molestation and endangerment? But it's in our public schools. And if you went in, they would call you an insurrectionist. Guess what? There's a group of us that are trying to get this out of our county. Did you ever hear of passing the buck? Oh, no, it's her job. No, it's his job. No, it's their job. It's your job, church. You can sit quiet and let the water get hot and watch the church blow up and implode on herself. Or you can do what Jesus said. Go. It was a command. It wasn't a suggestion. School board elections are indeed important because righteous men and women on the school boards will help move our nation forward to Father's redemptive purpose for this nation. Remember, we talked about redemptive purpose last month. The church's abdication of our role in educating and training our children of our culture allowed our children in the past two generations to be taught God had no part in founding our country. This is an absurd notion and an outright lie. But dealing with Leviathan, who's behind that, is another message. Boy, I've got a lot of messages running through my mind. Mom and Dad both had to work to get ahead after World War II. We went from a society that had feasting and family prayer around the dinner table to no mom, no dad at most tables. Except in Christian houses. And even that's becoming rare. The Bible charges you and me with the responsibility to raise my children in the knowledge and fear of their Creator and in all the blessings He has for them. If you didn't know it, that's why we talk about and celebrate the Hebraic feasts and months, because there are blessings Father wants to impart to His sons and daughters, you and me, every month. But we gave that over, and at first it was a good cooperation. But you know, the enemy's plan has always been to steal the children. Look at what they did in Noah's day. In Moses' day. Look what they did in Jesus' day. Tried to kill the seed. The enemy of your soul knows that if he can take your children a little bit at a time. You remember, I was a radical hippie. I was one of the one on the other side. Fortunately, Holy Spirit gave me a slap upside the head. Some people said it was an impartation. And showed me the truth. Jesus said, "Suffer not the little children to come unto me, for to them belong the kingdom of heaven." Well, it'll be okay. They only have them 12 hours every day, Monday through Friday. I'm counting bus time and after school time. And we've got them 8 hours of sleeping time, maybe a couple hours of eating time. And most families nowadays, eating looks like this. There's no conversation. The Gen Zers smiled. They know what I'm talking about. I can't do that with my thumbs. You are the keeper of heaven's history for your children. Will they hear his story through your lips? Even if it's different than what they're being taught in school. I'm going to touch on a couple things. I'm going to offend some people's theology, but that's okay. It's not Father's. It's man's. How do our children know we're not lying to them? When I was 5, my older sister was 6, and my younger sister was 4, we were taking a back road on Christmas Eve to cut up to Ridge Road to go into the inner city church we celebrated at. It was snowing profusely. My dad hit a deer. The three of us in the back seat immediately started screaming and crying, "How can Santa Claus come? Because the reindeer are dead." Once you tell a lie, you have to tell another one. "He's coming with a truck tonight." We're not supposed to mention that 1 week from tomorrow, the Bible calls first fruits, not Resurrection Sunday. It's first fruits. That's the biblical name for the first Sunday after the Sabbath, after the resurrection. Who wants to quote the Bible? And we're not supposed to mention the name of the goddess Ishtar. That's what the holiday is, by the way. It's the only pagan holiday which kept its name. So now little Johnny and little Susie are teenagers, and the youth pastor told them about Jesus, who's in heaven and you can't see him. Well, Mom and Dad told me about Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny. I guess Jesus is just like them. We sow lies and unbelief and agree with the spirit of death and lies when we think we're being nice to our children. When Father said, "I want to pour my blessings through you to bless your sons and daughters." And they should know it was Mom and Dad who loved them so much. Oh, wait a minute. That almost sounds like John 3:16. Because you are his sons and daughters, that's how much he loved. So, since we just came through the season of Purim, and by the way, every year this decade, the pay decade, Purim, a pay word, and Passover, a pay word, will be significant transition times in the kingdom of God. So we just passed through one, we're just entering a second one. So let's look at Queen Esther as a model of spiritual fortitude and her willingness to lay down her life for the good of the entire Hebrew population. First, we should ask ourselves what brought such a young woman to the point of do-or-die courage to address the king. Then, without knowing her background or upbringing, we might ask ourselves how to prepare ourselves for the coming days when we will have to decide whether to stand up and possibly die or lay down and indeed die, much as the German church did before World War II. Holy Spirit can bring awakening out of anything. I love the passage in Job. Many of you know because it's someone's ministry. At the scent of water, the stump will sprout. What are you going to give to Holy Spirit? So here's 3 points on the life of Esther. Number one, Esther was raised in a Hebrew home, so she would have been taught the steadfast protection of God in times of trouble. Story after story after story. When you lie down at night, when you rise up in the morning, when you walk along the way, tell your sons and your daughters everything the Lord has done. Testify. Do it again, Lord. How does faith come? How does hearing come? Are you speaking the word over your own life and over the life of your children, over the place where you work? I see your schoolroom lighting up in glory. Not because you do anything other than honor the Lord before anyone else comes in. He's not a respecter of persons. Any of you can grab that. My career was amazing. I couldn't talk about it because of what I did. Casey found out more overseas 10 years after I retired than she knew the whole time I was working, because I was forbidden to talk with anyone for at least 2 years, and I didn't care to talk with anybody about it. But I would go in and worship over the conference room before anyone else showed up, and I would speak the word of the Lord over the conference room, and I always had a mustache from the time I interviewed for the job, and I had to shave my beard to interview because back then professionals weren't supposed to have hair on their face. I don't know about on their head. And I would sit in meetings and I would judge the spirits in the blood of the cross. Do you know when you whisper Jesus in the blood of his cross, every demon cringes and flees? We don't have to shout it. And so when things were getting tense, I would just bind whatever spirit it felt like to me and release the fruit of the Spirit in its place. I got contracts signed. People said could never get signed. We turned a business around, a huge business around, in 9 months. They said couldn't be done. God can do anything, and he wants to use you to do it. Tell your children how God protects us in times of trouble. Many of you know my most powerful prayer was shouting Jesus at the top of my lungs in May of 1985 when my vehicle was rolled and totaled with me in it and the roof was that far from the steering wheel. And there wasn't a scratch on me. Because God will honor his word and his name if we will honor him. Number two, Esther's upbringing would have included consideration of the counsel from elders, in this case her cousin Mordecai, because her parents were dead. And yes, he was not her uncle, he was her cousin. Read the scripture carefully. The Lord wants generational wisdom passed across our generations. And it's just done conversationally. It's just done relationally. Kids don't need another schooling. See, Esther understood Deuteronomy 5:16, honor your father and mother as the Lord your God commanded you. New Testament tells us it's the first commandment with a promise so we may enjoy a long life. Esther understood she needed wise counsel from those who had been around a little bit longer than her. Number three, every person has a unique role to play in the outcome when tyranny on a culture forces action. There will be some point, like there was in Germany, when tanks rolled up to your house. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but tyranny will force action. We'll talk about that in a minute. Learn and prepare for your unique role and stand in it when the time comes. Esther impacted her culture just as much as Mordecai did. He was an intercessor. You see that in Esther 3:21 and through 23. So in today's society, what character-driven qualities should we develop to change us into vessels useful in addressing and changing the civil injustice which could lead to tyranny? Do you see any civil injustice around us? Everywhere I go, I see civil injustice. I submit this list as just a starting point to reflect on and to discuss with whoever the Lord leads you to discuss. Number one, this list of how we can impact my culture must begin with intercession for the leaders in our town, in our villages, in our county, in our city, in our state, in our nation. 1 Timothy 2:1 through 4 says, first of all, then, pray for everyone. That's all y'all. Everyone. And specifically pray for your town board, your school board, your town council executive or mayor, your city mayor and the executives, the county legislators, and all of the county executives and sheriffs. I know their names. I pray for them every day. Some of them I even pray for their wives. For your New York State Assembly person, his name is Josh Jensen, if you live in this region called Greece or Ogden. And your New York State Senator, if you live in this area, it's Rob Ort. And your governor, radical Damascus Road experience for Kathy Hochul. And for every judiciary and executive official and every level of New York State government. And for three of the worst, based on their voting records, member of the House of Representatives of the U.S. Congress, you know his name, and the two of the worst U.S. senators, you know their names. Radical. Damascus Road experience. Pray for them. Oh, wait a minute. You mean if we do what they did 400 years ago and ask the Lord to put righteous leaders in, he might just remove the perverse, the corrupt, the immoral, the amoral, the adulterous, the godless? Wait a minute. I find that in the Bible all the time. When the people humbled themselves and prayed and did the word of the Lord, he moved to give them leaders after his heart. Unfortunately, we have leaders after our fallen culture's heart. Number two, be sure to begin or continue discussing with your children the basis for our country's founding. Again, even if it differs from what they're being taught in school. Do you know the truth will set them free? Gen Z is looking for something to die for. His name is Jesus. Who's going to tell them about the only one? My generation was looking for something to live for. His name is Jesus. But in my generation, we did a big disservice to all of the generations in between. In 1967, when the Jesus movement started and the Messianic movement started, two different movements, we told my generation, don't become a chemist, don't become a teacher, don't become a politician, don't become a lab technician, don't become a salesman. You go to Bible school, you go to seminary, and you get a degree, and you go out and you preach the gospel. Well, I got news for you. My Bible says all of us, everywhere in culture, are to go and preach the gospel. Not just someone with a degree hanging on their wall or an ordination robe or anything else. That's all good and fine. But our role, the fivefold, Mark is a fivefold minister, Rob is a fivefold minister, we're all fivefold ministers. The other fivefold ministers aren't here tonight. Our job is to equip all of you to do the work of the ministry of Jesus Christ. You know what that work is? Heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead, and speak the gospel. You know, if you do those other things, they're going to come to you and ask you why. You don't have to do a lot of preaching. Forgive us, all of us in the fivefold ministry who for the past 50 years have failed to do what Father said we should do, and that's equip you to go and do signs, wonders, and miracles. Number three, make time to encourage or develop opportunities to engage in critical thinking and discussion on the state of our local, state, and national political arenas. I'm not talking about bashing. Do you know they are starting to look to the body of Christ for answers? There are Christian programs in the Southern Tier where I was this morning where they're sending, the political leaders are sending people to the church to find out how to do what is successful in helping families get back together. You've got the answers, folks. His name is Jesus. Number four, actively look for ways to engage in a societal discourse aligned with your giftings, ability, education, and availability. You're different than me. I can't do what you can do. You may be able to do what I can do. But he made us all to do what he said to do. Go. For example, should you run for the school board, the mayor of your town, the town council, other offices of local, state, or national government? Do not buy the enemy's lie saying you are unschooled in political navigation, or your experience in education, business, and corporate business development do not qualify you to lead at the local, state, or national level. Father's the one who qualifies you. Holy Spirit is the one who empowers you. Jesus is the one who told you to go. If Holy Spirit called you, you are well able. Most of us won't ask. Number five, work to create within you the steadfastness to adhere to your convictions for the good of your family and community. In other words, don't compromise. Jesus said, if you testify me before man, I will declare you before the angels and my Father. I like that testimony. But if I won't declare him, guess what? He's not going to declare us. If you hesitate in your character concerning morality or integrity, make a list of problem areas and seek help to overcome those areas from a trusted fivefold minister or a friend or a counselor or someone who knows how to help you get set free. We tell people once you're set free, you should be able to maintain your freedom. But if you're having trouble getting set free, come get help. The enemy loves to treat you like an Amalekite. Boy, that's a whole message in itself when you look to see where they came from. Because he wants to keep you wandering in the rear of things, and the Amalekites attack and destroy the weak, the elderly, and those who lag behind. In closing, We may be in for another scandemic, plandemic, or pandemic. Call it what you want. It's on the horizon for the world's populace. The politicians or their masters were at the time declare, take a shot or you cannot be in the military. Or get vaccinated. By the way, it's scientifically not a vaccination. Or you will not have access to utilities such as electricity and water. How's that for a threat? This may seem like a stretch, but it's much like what happened in New York City 3 years ago, where you couldn't eat if you wouldn't conform to New York City's rules. It's not that far away. The day is coming when we will have to make life or death choices. The powers of darkness behind the Nebuchadnezzars of our day will decree submit or die. Some of you have heard me tell this story before. In one of my areas that I was manager over, I walked through all my areas every day. I extended my workday, so I made sure I had contact with the staff, with the leaders, with the group leaders, with the shop floor people, with this, whatever their position was. And one day I was walking through a production area, and we had a summer employee in there, and a couple of the people in the production line stopped, and I'd answer questions about anything. Many times they would ask me about how to do something more productively. But they could ask me about scripture, so one of them did. And this summer employee was the son of an ambassador from Vietnam. And he came up to me and he said, just like this, what if I shoot you? And I said, I'd instantly be promoted. My tent would be gone and my eternal spirit would be in the presence of the King of Glory, and there is nothing you can do to harm me. He quit the next day. Couldn't take the truth, I guess. Get over your fear of death. Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave. That's what we're celebrating in this Passover season. That's what we celebrate on First Fruits Sunday. Also, we can get to the Feast of Tabernacles and celebrate the glory which is to come. Ask yourself, some of you are going to say, man, that was pretty harsh today. Que sera? I think that's French. No. What is it? Spanglish? Whatever will be, will be. Ask yourself, if it comes to this, does the same spirit who raised Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah out of the fiery furnace live in me? And if he could defeat the Nebuchadnezzar of that day and convert him, by the way, he was converted. Before Nebuchadnezzar died, he bowed to Yahweh. Read your Bible. Or will you be like one of those dudes that Nebuchadnezzar said, go stoke the fire? Go persecute the bride of Christ. And they get consumed in their own trap. Oh, wait a minute. That's in Proverbs. He who digs a pit will fall into it. He who rolls a stone, it will roll back on them. It is time to know the truth who set you free and live for him alone. It's not a game. It became very real to Casey and I after our son Christopher died. Going to church was not a game. There was a reality beyond what we had been taught. And in the school of the Spirit, we are learning. Lord, teach us more. Trusting Jesus is the only way to be sure in a constantly changing world. Many of you have heard me say this. Are you made in the image and the likeness of God? Then you were manufactured by God for His glory. And just like when we got that piano, we got an instruction book, a manufacturer's handbook. This is the manufacturer's handbook for your life. I was successful as a farmer because of this book. I was successful as a scientist because of this book. I was successful as a manager and leader because of this book. It has the answers for every situation and circumstance. Before they were big enough to make me Father's Day presents, the kids made me a counter cross stitch or needlepoint. Counter cross stitch, little plaque, which hung above my office at work and now hangs above my office at home. It says, "Ask Jesus, He knows." I would like to pray for those who want prayer. Some of you don't want prayer, so be honest with God. Someday you will want prayer, and we'll pray for you then. But if you want a measure of holy boldness from Holy Spirit, then stand to your feet. Because we can't do this on our own. Father, these are your sons and daughters. They want more of Yeshua. They want more of Ruach HaKodesh. They want more of you. Adonai, Elohim, Yahweh, Jehovah. Lord, by every name you call yourself, especially Adonai Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, rest on your sons and daughters. Father, tonight I say, release upon them fresh measures of your sevenfold spirit, your spirit of wisdom and understanding. But more importantly, Holy Spirit, I ask you as the spirit of counsel to rest upon them and bring them into the throne room of heaven to give them the revelation of what Father and Son are doing and what He has set in place for them to do. And then I say, Spirit of might, bring the power of heaven for them to do signs, wonders, and miracles with the revelation they gain in your throne room. Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord rest on them. So holy, righteous fear goes with us everywhere we go, where we will not open our mouth to presume or speak presumptuously, but we will wait for you to place your word for the one person or the group in front of us. They need to hear to believe you are God. Jesus, you alone are our baptizer. And I ask you tonight to baptize your sons and daughters of every age in fresh measures of your spirit and holy fire, so they will have the language and the understanding of heaven in the earth realm for all they need. And Lord, I send them to prosper this week in your presence, because you prosper their souls in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.